Ramsey TV.
It's all about putting on a fair face in the flesh, you know? Yeah. Nobody wants to go outside the norm, because then they look weird. Nobody wants to look weird. And the snare of the cross is that the cross is complete. No one needs to add anything, which is just weird to the human being. That no one needs to add anything. No one needs to perfect it. Doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem fair. See, it's all what's right and fair to the human. They don't see that God decides to give grace to complete morons. They don't think that's right, and they don't think that's fair, because surely morons should be punished. Morons should not be having so much fun. Morons should be coming under subjection to our rules, because, again, misery loves company. At the end of the week, it's Friday. Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. Now, I'm going to give you three translations here to end the week. Yesterday's show got away from me. I blame it on Charles. I couldn't believe when I got done. It was a 34-minute show. I apologize for that, really. It's too much. Now, here's Colossians, as I promised you. Colossians chapter 2 from the RIT, the VAR translation, which is really more literal than the concordant version, but it's unreadable practically because it's got weird words. I mean, really weird words. For instance, I'll demonstrate right here. Verse 20, if you deadened away together with Christ, away from the elementarians of the cosmos, what are you yet dogmatic? Yes, I said, what are you yet dogmatic? I didn't say why, I said what. What are you yet dogmatic as once living in the cosmos? You should not touch, but also not taste, but also not come into contact, which is all there to come into corruption by using. Well, that's kind of interesting. Why is that all there? Why is all this stuff here? Oh, it's to come into corruption, but not you. You're a human being. I mean, your body will corrupt. Yes, and for a while, if death should ensue before the snatching away, your soul will disappear and you will not exist. But God will resurrect you, and anything that has a soul will be resurrected. That's right. Your pets, including your birds. Yes, even your lizards and your tarantulas and your snakes. Those people who think those things are cute, yeah. According to the aim settings and teachings of the human, which that abides is having a word of wisdom and willful ritual and humility and non-sparing of the body. See, they translate that literally there. Non-sparing of the body, Concordant says, asceticism. Here's the best part in verse 23. Not in any value, but to the indulgence of the flesh. This stuff actually indulges the flesh. Isn't that ironic again, that things you think would be against the flesh, trying to come against it and be willfully religious, it actually indulges the flesh. People like it. Feels good. It feels good. It's so good to be religious. Yes, it does. Now we're going to go... Well, I told you it's all about fair face in the flesh. Let's read that verse, and you'll see exactly what I mean. I don't make these things up. This is Galatians 6, verse 12. Whoever are wanting to put on a fair face in the flesh, these are compelling you to circumcise, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ Jesus. This goes back to what Paul said in the same letter, chapter 5, verse 11, if I'm still heralding circumcision, why am I being persecuted? You can see the common denominator is that persecution will attend one who says that the cross is complete. I mean, it is the weirdest thing, but I'm being persecuted by people in the orbit of the body of Christ. I'm not being persecuted by the world. The world digs it. But people have any religious bone in their body, even if they name the name of Christ, name God, for some reason, they are offended that the cross alone can save someone, especially when that someone is a careless, thoughtless moron. They're not taking into account that the fruit of the Spirit grows at different speeds with different people. Not taking that into account. Because you see, they look for fruit by the day. If they don't see it, then they can't believe the cross has had its work. It may take a long time for somebody to develop legitimate fruit. Because you see, when people go from religion to the truth, they become like Saul on the road to Damascus, becoming Paul. Everything he had attained that looked good, that put on a fair face in the flesh, is destroyed. When religion is destroyed, it looks like you've taken 10 steps back. But actually, you are farther along on the spiritual scale by having all your religious props taken away and looking like a sinning piece of shit. You're better off there after you've realized the grace of God. You're far better off step 0.5 in the grace of God than you are at step 20 in religious exercise. Do you hear what I'm saying? Somebody who attains to great feats of behavior, a great moral gold standard, but they're doing it out of the strength of the flesh, that person is worse off than the moron, the jerk, the person who sleeps in till noon, doesn't do anything all day, sloppy, lazy, burps, farts, and spits, but who accepts the totality of the cross, that person is farther along. They'll get somewhere. If the belief is legit, in this case, I'm telling you, it is. If the belief is legit, they'll get there. But they'll get there by means of the Spirit. It might be slow. It may take them a year to get 1 point on each of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. I mean, 1 point, say, out of 50. Say every fruit of the Spirit, let's say, has 50 points. And it might take them a year to get like 1 point on each 9 pieces of fruit. 1 point. But it's progress, and it's founded on the right foundation. The foundation of grace alone. So grace alone, even though it seems to be stripped of any acceptable moral behavior, is better than somebody who is scoring 100, 1,000. They get their ball stuck in the metal hole and the ding, 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 pinball wizards of moral attainment. Ding, 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 ding. Don't they look great? Don't they look shiny? This was Saul before the road to Damascus. This was Saul. And he came to realize that, listen, the guy was a terrible sinner. He was the worst sinner on the planet. He was blinded that day. He went 3 days without being able to see. And in those days, what fruit did he have? Can I ask you that? What fruit in those 3 days when he went to Damascus and was led there by his people, came to the house of Ananias, what fruit could he have possibly produced? All he did was belief. All he did was belief. That's it. But the guy on that day, when he was blind and dirty and wondering what the hell is going on, except something happened, Jesus Christ talked to me, and I believe it was Jesus Christ, and I'm a changed man. Something happened that day. And on day one, he had already exceeded 30 years or whatever he had in Judaism. On day one, he exceeded everything he had ever attained. I don't care how good it looked. I don't care how many ding, 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 ding he gets. I don't care how many replays he gets. I don't care about his crazy flipper fingers. He's better off in the dirt, eating his own spit, crawling around. That's nice, you see. That's nice. Because he dropped the religion in a second. So what's the opposite of a fair face in the flesh? Whoever are wanting to put on a fair face in the flesh, these are compelling you to circumcise, because they don't want to be persecuted. What's the opposite of putting on a fair face in the flesh? Looking like hell. Looking like you're not accomplishing anything. Looking really like a sloppy believer. Sloppy, sloppy, sloppy. That's the opposite of a fair face in the flesh. But it's the fair face in the flesh, people who don't want to be persecuted for the cross of Christ Jesus. That is, for the completeness of it. So this tells you that those who accept the completeness of the cross, they will not be putting on a fair face in the flesh, at least not on day one. They may be looking like very, very sloppy Christians, but they're better off than the people who are striving in the flesh. Now I wish to go to the message. What's the guy's name? Peterson. This is pretty good here. I mean, it's not, you know, word for word, literal in the Greek, like the VAR translation, but it's pretty bold. And he gets the essence of it. Eugene Peterson, he gets the essence of it. Verse 20 through 23, Colossians 2, Eugene Peterson's The Message. So then, if with Christ you've put all that puffed up and childish religion behind you, why do you let yourself be bullied by it? Don't touch this. Don't taste that. Don't go near this. Do you think things that are here today and gone tomorrow are worth that kind of attention? Such things sound impressive if said in a deep enough voice. They even give the illusion of being pious and humble and austere. But they're just another way of showing off, making yourself look important. Wow, that's good. And the people who are telling you no, 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 they're freaking out and giving attention to things that are here today, gone tomorrow. Here today, gone tomorrow. We know these things are fleeting, these things that God gave us richly to enjoy that are not obvious sins, things like drinking, smoking cigarettes, masturbating, looking at porn. These are not sins in the scripture, and they're all passing away. As I said yesterday, even our genders are passing away. So, none of us are, again, I thought this was a good point that I made. None of us are grasping onto these things, thinking that we just were going to follow them to the grave or follow them to the celestial realms on the day of the snatching away. We're just going to hold on to them. No, we know it's all passing away. The only thing not passing away is what we have in Christ, the treasure we've amassed in Christ via faith in the cross. Those are the things that are going to last. Those are the things we know are going to last. These other things, we know they're going away. And we, in the meantime, we just pet them and lick them and squeeze them and love them. And it's like, oh, you're so nice. You make me feel better. And then, but they're all going away. And we know that. You can't take it with you. If anybody doesn't know that, it's almost like, though, what these people are saying here, what Paul is saying is the people are so worried about you masturbating, for instance, like our friends. They gave Matthew Holland the anti-masturbation video. Michael Knotts. It's almost like they think this stuff is going to last. They think this stuff, they think that those of us who are indulging have this like aeonian attachment to it. Like we're so in love with it that we're convinced that it's going to keep going. And the way they talk about it, they act like it's eternal. It's aeonian or something. Masturbation is aeonian. You know, not really. Not really. It's here today, gone tomorrow. And these people are completely out of touch with that. And they're giving their attention and their messages of foreboding to things that are here today and gone tomorrow. As Peterson translates here in verse 19, they're completely out of touch with the source of life, Christ, who puts us together in one piece, whose very breath, oh, I didn't read that part. That's verse 18 through 19. Didn't mean to dabble into the previous two verses, but they're good. But I got to stay here. See, do you think that these things that are here today and gone tomorrow are worth that kind of attention? Worth that kind of no-no? Worth that kind of don't touch, don't taste, don't come into contact? No. I'll finish, you know, with the Peterson translation here before I go to the J.B. Phillips and end for the week. Such things sound impressive if said in a deep enough voice. This is like the ritual of the messengers. A deep voice or wispy voice. Or it's like, whoa! The messengers. Oh, that's very wispy. Organ music. Oh, very impressive. They sound impressive if said in a deep enough voice. Or reverb. Oh, reverb is the best. Hello, 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 I'm saying something very, very, very important to you, you, do, no, not, touch yourself, self, down there. You freaking gotta be kidding me, okay. Such things sound impressive if said in a deep enough voice. They even give the illusion of being pious and humble and austere, but they're just another way of showing off, making yourselves look important. That's pretty hardcore. Let's go to J.B. Phillips. I'm going to start with verse 16 with Phillips. Then we're going to end for the week. I'm going to make up for yesterday's video. 16 minutes. Okay, here we go. I'm pixelated on purpose. I'm purposely pixelated. I'm tired of being so clear. I want to be clear verbally, but not necessarily visually. Here we go. In view of these tremendous facts, don't let anyone worry you. Don't let anyone worry you by criticizing what you eat or drink, or what holy days you want to observe, or bothering you over new moons or Sabbaths. All these things have, at most, only a symbolic value. The solid fact is Christ. Nor let any man cheat you of your joy in Christ by persuading you to make yourselves humble and fall down and worship angels. Such a man, inflated by an unspiritual imagination, is pushing his way into matters he knows nothing about, and in his cleverness, forgetting his head. It is from the head alone that the body, by natural channels, is nourished and built up and grows according to God's laws of growth. Here we go, verses 20 through 23. Those were verses 16 through 19, 20 through 23. So, if through your faith in Christ, which is given to you by God, I added that, if through your faith in Christ you are dead to the principles of this world's life, why? As if you were still part and parcel of this worldwide system, do you take the slightest notice of these purely human prohibitions? Don't touch this. Don't taste that. Don't handle the other. This, that, and the other will all pass away after use. I know that these regulations look wise with their self-inspired efforts at worship, their policy of self-humbling, and their studied neglect of the body. But in actual practice, they do honor not to God, but to a man's own pride.